You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, Red Raider Nation. This is Joe with the Cotton Club crew coming to you from the heartbeat of the 806 in Lubbock, Texas, and your home of the Texas Tech Red Raiders. Baseball time. We haven't touched on baseball in about a week or so. Some things have been going on the baseball diamond. We've started conference play. Not quite the start that we were wanting. Just a lot of struggles offensively, defensively. This program is in a rough spot right now. We're going to kind of dive into the conference play and then the upcoming series with BYU that starts tomorrow. And we'll just kind of see what this Texas Tech team has been doing in the conference, what they haven't been doing in the conference, what changes need to be made, and what we need to do to right the ship. I am joined tonight by our resident baseball guru himself, Mr. Jack Bell, and we're just going to jump right into it. A lot of things going on with this baseball team, Jack. We'll start on the hitting side of the ball right now. At the plate, Texas Tech was leading the Big 12 in all statistical categories of offensive power going into conference play when they opened up with Texas. And six games in, Texas Tech sits at 2-4 in the conference, but the bats have gone away. They're missing. They're on the side of a milk jug. They just can't be found. Jack, from what you've seen so far and statistics wise, what you've read, what do you think is going to be the biggest issue in conference play with this Red Raider offense?
You know, taking a look at this team as a whole, it's the lack of consistency for me. You see games where Tech puts up, you know, 7-8 runs. The bottom line is that should be enough to win a ball game. From an offensive standpoint, you can't really sit there and shake your head at 7 or 8 runs across the plate. You see a lot in those games against Texas where you score 8 on Friday, 7 on Saturday, and 7 on Sunday. Yet you go 1-2 in those games. The offensive firepower is there. I mean, we all see it in the weekday series. Take a look at the series right after that against New Mexico State. I know we're focusing on conference, but you know, you put up 13 on the first game of that New Mexico State series, then you put up 9 on Wednesday. They put up 9 last night against Abilene Christian. Again, it's almost like you're overwhelmed with the talent that you're facing on the mound. But that's not really a fair assessment either, because, and again, no, I'm not shaking a stick at, you know, the Baylor baseball team. They took the series from us after going down a game. But nothing that you saw in that Baylor series was, you know, of epic proportion. It wasn't like you had, you know, A.J. Russell from Tennessee throwing at you every single game, like we saw in the first game of the season there at that I got to see at Globe Life. That was epic. And that was something where you could just tell that some people are in a league of their own. A.J. Russell is. But what you're seeing, like, against teams like Baylor, again, no disrespect, it's not like you're seeing A.J. Russell on the mound every night. I don't really, you know, it's hard to put a finger on it. Looking at the team as a whole, just over conference play, your best player has been Dylan Maxey. And that's not any by any stretch of the imagination. You know, he's the only one that has started all six games that's hitting over 300. He's the only one that's played in all six games that's hitting over 270. The only other person that's even remotely close really is Gavin Cash. He's at 269 for batting average. Everyone else is below 240. That's not typically something you see really from this Tech side. You're seeing a lot of strikeouts. You're seeing a lot. And it's hard to say that they're up there swinging at everything, because they're not. You know, they're drawing some walks, not as many as you'd really like to see. You know, the OBP for a lot of these guys is higher. You know, Dylan Maxey's at a 409 for on-base percentage. You got Austin Green and Cade McGee are over 400 in on-base percentage too. Another thing that I do see Tech struggling with is hitting with runners in scoring position. This has been an issue with this program for a couple of years now. And it's not just a freak thing every so often now again. When you see this happen over time and you see it repeat and repeat and repeat, you know, that's what we call a trend. And that is a trend. When people are getting up there and they're struggling to hit with runners in scoring position, it's no longer, you know, this year they just kind of struggle with runners in scoring position. It's become a thing where we've seen this for the last couple of years. Again, this is what we would call a trend. So I'd like to see Tech improve with runners in scoring position. I'd like to see, once these guys get on base, you know, put them on the move. I mean, we're consistently one of the bottom teams in the Big 12 when it comes to stolen bases. And we have guys with speed out there. You have guys like Tracer Lopez, Gage Harrelson. The problem with Gage Harrelson right now is he's just not getting on. Well, he's getting on base, but he's struggling at the plate. Pretty much everyone is. It seems to be a team-wide thing right now. And I would call it concerning, to say the least.
Yeah, it'd be very concerning. I mean, if you, like I said, look at the body of work, no disrespect to some of the teams, the Garner Webbs, the Texas State, you know, or the Texas Southern games, you know, where some of our statistics were heavily boasted by just a lot of walks and just timely hitting. And to your point, what you're talking about, the timely hitting with runners in scoring position, when Texas Tech's offense is eating it up, they are making pitchers pay when there's guys on the base path. And we're just not doing it right now. It's very tough. I mean, Gage Harrelson isn't even batting 100. He's 1 for 13 at the plate. He has drawn 6 walks. Not taking away from that. He's 3 for 3 in steals in conference play. But some of these bigger bats, the Damian Bravos of the world, I mean, in conference play, arguably the best hitter going in to conference play this year, has struck out 8 times. He's only batting 200. I think he missed a game there with some kind of injury to his hand, if I'm not mistaken. It's very concerning this early on in the conference play that you're seeing all of these struggles. And yes, also, to your point, you know, the writing's on the wall, you know, the writing's on the wall with, you know, not being aggressive on the base path, you know, the writing's on the wall with our pitching and troubles with Coach Gardner. You know, these are all things that have happened over the course of the last couple of years to where you should start to be concerned. On the offensive side, like I said, Austin Green, Damian Bravo, Owen Washburn, Pompey, all these guys were making incredible contact before the conference play started. And, you know, all of their bats seem to have regressed a bit. The strikeouts have gone up. The walks is still kind of middle of the road as well. They have taken 10 hit by pitches as well. But as far as, you know, the timely hitting and getting the runs over, moving runners over when you need to, that's just not happening like it did earlier in the year. So big series coming up with BYU starting tomorrow. We'll touch on that here shortly, but, you know, keys to that series and what we need to do to try to get back on the winning course, get back, you know, in this Big 12 race, because it's still fairly early in the season, only 6 conference games in right now, 2-4. There's plenty of time to right this ship, but this is something that needs to happen sooner rather than later.
Yeah, so, and I agree with that. And I think another thing that you can add in there, right? If you take a look at the stat sheet, you know, just as a whole, just even for conference play, you're seeing a lot of guys that have played in a lot of games. You're not seeing your consistent, you know, 9 guys that are going out there and you know, playing. You're not seeing a consistency there. You're seeing, so Maxey, Cash, McGee, and Lopez are the guys that have played in and started all 6 games. What that tells me is that there is still a lot to figure out about this team. And they're still messing around with lineups and who's playing where at what time. This concerns me. This is stuff that should be happening, you know, in the non-conference. This isn't something that you should be toying with or should still be wondering about. Granted, I know we're only 6 games into conference play and we're only 2 series down through all this, but this is something that should be determined by now. This isn't something where it's not normal to see that. And I think from a fan, we've had the times over the years where it's been kind of head scratching moves, but we've always been like, you know, trust Tadlock. And I'm not saying we stop doing that now by any means, but it's concerning from that standpoint as well, where you're not seeing a consistent, you know, maybe 10, even maybe 11 guys playing in all these games. You're seeing guys that are, you're seeing 4 guys that have started all 6 games. And then you're seeing guys that are, have started 2 games, have started 3 games, you know, have only played in 3 games, have only played in 2 games, but they're not starting those. So they're coming in, which means this is all a very fluid thing. And this is very unlike this coaching staff to be messing around like this during the games, to be toying with lineups and, you know, inserting people in mid game. For those of you that have played baseball like myself, it's not the easiest thing to come off the bench cold and come into a game in the 5th inning. For pitchers, it's a little different. You got that time in the bullpen to warm up and all that. When you're coming off the bench, being plugged in to hit, or when you're coming off the bench being thrown in the field, it takes a little bit to get, you know, into the flow of the game. It could take a couple innings. And that's why when you go through the first time in the lineup and maybe you're not getting anything, that's fine. You're still getting into the flow of the game. But in some of these circumstances, you're seeing guys get 1 at bat, maybe 2, and then they're getting pulled for someone else. That's not conducive to the flow of the game by any means. And that's something that is also concerning when you're not letting your main guys, granted, you're going to see Gavin Cash and you're going to see Cade McGee and you're going to see Austin Green, you know, Tracer Lopez, all those guys, those guys have been, you know, in the game, Dylan Maxey, but you're seeing a lot of guys being pulled mid game And not only is it hard to come in off the bench to get into the flow of a game, it's hard as a player when you're started and you only get two at bats and maybe a couple innings in the field and they say, hey, you're done. Man, that kills your confidence. That absolutely destroys your mental game as a player. And right now, you've only got four guys that are starting every game and playing in every game. I mean, you got, I guess Austin Green has played in every game, but he only started five of those six. But when you got guys that are being plugged in and here and there throughout the whole thing, that it doesn't do well for your confidence as a baseball player. I know it didn't for me when I played. And it's just, it's rough to see when you look at it from a standpoint, because there are times where you're thinking, oh, well, you know, this guy's finally getting the eye on this pitcher and, you know, he's finally squaring him up. And then all of a sudden he's pulled from the on deck circle. And that's something to, again, we've never seen this before from this coaching staff. So what that leads me to believe is that there is still a lot in flux with this team, even on the offensive side. Again, that is extremely concerning to me.
Yeah. And going into conference play, it almost seemed like it was a strength. You had all these different pieces hitting the ball well, making great contact. You have all these different players that you could just throw in there that are just making an impact. And now it seems like you're not even, to your point, not even letting them finish what they've started, and how that could negatively sit on a kid's mental, you know, just like a TJ Pompey, young kid, true freshman, a lot's being asked of him. It's probably super tough. And I believe he was pulled in that Baylor game with some fielding concerns. And, you know, I get it. It's a young player, all this and that, but you know, the mentality of his mindset is just, where's it at? You know, other guys that are also playing coming in, it is very hard. I could attest to that as a former baseball player myself, sometimes getting called up to go and bat and you get your, like, you know, five or six practice hacks. And then you're in the batter's box facing, you know, a pitcher. You know, it's just hard to get in involved and be successful in these moments. So I don't know exactly what's going on. It is very concerning on the offensive side that we don't have the same six or the same nine going in and out there starting start to finish in conference games. I could see how in non-conference games, you're trying to get some guys extra bats, you're up big or you're up some, you know, get some different guys in there, different things like that. I understand that. But in conference play, it's just definitely not working out for this baseball team. Coach Tadlock and the coaching staff is just going to have to figure out exactly what's the best recipe to be successful from this point on in the Big 12. So, like I said, a lot of baseball to be played. We'll see exactly what goes on with this baseball team as far as the offensive standpoint goes. But Jack, let's jump into the pitching. Pitching hasn't been great all year. I mean, in a whole, it's been getting the job done, but come conference play, you have some good games. You have a very solid game from Mac Ewer in the Texas series. You have a very, very solid game from Kyle Robinson in the Baylor series. And then all the other games, your pitching staff is lost. Like, they don't know where to hit the plate. They're walking a lot of players. They're leaving stuff over the center of the plate to get mashed. What do you see? And I know this is a constant theme, and it has been over the last couple of years of Coach Gardner. Is this just some more of his terrible coaching that's just being reflected on the field, or is there a deeper problem with our pitching staff?
I mean, I don't know what you can attribute to other than that. I mean, truly, you go down the line, and I just want to do this math real quick. And you have your collective starting three that you've seen over the last two series. You've seen Kyle Robinson, Mac Ewer, and Jack Washburn. If you could guess, if you're listening to this, if you take those three guys, their cumulative ERA for just their ERA as a whole, as a group, the average of it. It's 7.38. It's 7.38 for the ERA. That is not going to win you anything. Especially when we're talking about on the other side where your offense is struggling. That's not going to do anything. So, that's a concern. Coming out of the pen, you've had guys that you've relied on heavily in the past. Ryan Free, Trenton Parrish. Jacob Rogers has actually kind of turned it on a little bit over, you know, his, what, 2 2/3 that he's gone in conference play. But Trenton Parrish's ERA right now in conference play is 12. Ryan Free's ERA in conference play is 13.5. If you really want to get into it, you can throw in the one appearance that Zane Petty had in conference play. His ERA is 33.7. That isn't good. That's not good in Division III. That's not good at the JUCO level. That's definitely not going to cut it in a Power 5 conference. I don't want to shy away from the people who have thrown well. There's not a large body of work, to be honest with you. Josh Sanders has thrown the most out of the pen. He's thrown 4 2/3. His ERA is 1.93. Josh Sanders is just doing Josh Sanders things still. So thankfully he's a steadying force. Again, I mentioned Jacob Rogers. He's coming along. He's thrown 2 2/3 and he's right about 3.33 for the ERA. That's good. You know, Bridges has thrown 2 innings, 0 ERA. Big Max, 2 1/3, 0 ERA. That's fantastic. You know, Lysak has thrown over an inning. Hutera has thrown over an inning. Those guys are all at zeros. That's fantastic. You're talking about your guys, though, that are the big volume guys in inning, minus Sanders and Huffling, really. You're just getting shelled. You're just getting absolutely shelled. And we're at the point now, and I want to reference this as well. We're at a point now where this isn't just a Lubbock issue anymore. I remember there was a tweet from Kendall Rogers, who runs D1 Baseball. It's a fantastic outlet for college baseball. They cover everything really well. They're more focused on like the SEC and stuff like that. But they
solid work.
Yeah, they do branch out over into Big 12 play. And you know, they do cover the whole country, but they're primarily, you know, dealing with the SEC. But they do cover everything. And Kendall Rogers tweeted, and I have it pulled up. Actually, I just found it on the 8th of March. And someone asked him, would you agree that Texas Tech baseball's Achilles heel will be the pitching and it will limit them in the postseason? His response: the overall production from the pitching staff has been an issue at Texas Tech for a few seasons now. It needs to improve. This is no longer just an issue that Tech fans are yelling about into their echo chambers on Red Raider Sports on 247. You know, this is starting to become a nationally known thing. This isn't anything that you can keep in-house anymore, truly. Like, this is becoming an issue that everyone is seeing, and everyone knows it. I can guarantee you, ask Texas. They scored 22 runs on Friday against us. They know it. Baylor was down 1-0 to us in a series. Got shut out in the first game. Guess what? They scored 5 in the second game and 7 in the third game. This is something that is well known across the Big 12, and this is definitely something well known for Tech fans. Something needs to change, and now. And for Tech fans, I'll make a quick football reference. Years ago, it seems like it's been sooner than that, but it's been years ago now. If you want to go back to the time when Matt Wells was the head coach at the football program, and David Yost was the offensive coordinator. And at the end of the season, before he was fired, Kirby Hokut had to go into Matt Wells' office and say he needs to go. Matt Wells said no, and Kirby Hokut said, if he doesn't go, you're going. And so he fired David Yost. I'm on the ledge here, and I'm about to jump, do a cannonball into the pool. I'm almost to the point where something similar needs to happen in this situation, because this isn't something that is being fixed. This is something that has been an issue for a long time. More than, you know, ever since we went to the College World Series last. I mean, you want to talk about how good this program is and how it's one of our more consistent programs, da da da. We haven't been to the College World Series in 5 years, guys. That's something where we got into the rhythm where we would expect College World Series, and we were spoiled by that, and that's fine. There are definitely teams that do go to the College World Series every year. You look at teams like LSU. You look at teams like Vanderbilt. You know, those teams, you know, Tennessee is starting to get into that, you know, as well. I mean, they choke in regionals, and that's a well-known thing as well.
Wake Forest is another one of those.
Yeah, Wake Forest as well. Yeah. You're talking about teams that are now consistently getting to the College World Series every year, and that's where Tech used to be. Not every year necessarily, but, you know, every other year. I think we were on an every other year basis from about 2015 to 2019, at least that I know of. And so all of a sudden we're at a point where we haven't been to the College World Series in 5 years. We were up in a super regional final last year and we choked it away because of our pitching. And it's very telling when you have guys that are in the middle of your core as a team now, not just specifically speaking about pitching staff, but as a team that opt to go somewhere else. Mainly for this, from this past year, the most, you know, recent thing that we can look at is Mason Molina. Mason Molina was our ace. He had his Friday. If he would have stayed at Texas Tech, he is the Friday night starter. Every single series, no questions asked, shut the book on it, done. He opts to go to Arkansas. You have Hudson White. Now, we can talk back and forth about Hudson White's role in the lineup over last season, how he's getting pushed out by Bazell. You know, Maxie's having a hell of a year this year. Not saying that wouldn't have happened anyway. But you're talking about Hudson White. Hudson White was a starter for this team for two seasons. Like, barely missed any games. The only time he was missing games was because of rest. It wasn't like he was being taken out for poor performance. So you're talking about something that is deeper than the surface here. And when it comes to the pitching staff, I don't know if you can sit here and say you're struggling to get recruits. Because you're truly not. If you take a look at the recruiting class as a whole over the past few seasons, they've been towards the top of the Big 12. And they're going to need to continue to do that, especially with Texas and Oklahoma leaving to go to the SEC. They're having to vie for those same recruits that, you know, you could say, hey, you know, you could come to Tech and beat Texas in the Big 12. Well, now those same guys that are getting recruited by Texas and Tech, hey, Texas is ploy right there is, hey, come to Texas. You get to play in the SEC. You get to play in the best baseball conference in the country. And that's the truth. The SEC is far and away better than the Big 12 is. And that's fine. But I don't know if I'm sitting here and put yourself in the shoes of a recruit that's, you know, being talked to by Tech. And they can give you the spiel, hey, here's our new clubhouse, you know, all this stuff. It's state of the art. If you're a pitcher, I don't know if you could seriously sit there and make a case to me to come there when the you know, overall, you know, progression of the pitching staff is so poor. I don't know of a scenario that you could tell me that I would come here. And again, I love this team. I love this program. But at the same time, I just don't see a viable thing. You could tell me that I'm the Friday night starter, hands down, book shut. Okay, well, I'm trying to go to college to get that overall progression so I can eventually go play in the pros. Okay, well, if you want to think about the last person that left us to go to the pros that's making headway and on the pitching mound, you know, recently, I mean, you want to talk about John McMillan, you want to talk about Brandon Birdsell. Those are elite talents. And not every single recruit is going to turn into that. Not every single person is going to come in like a Brandon Birdsell who ended up, you know, I mean, he transferred to Tech. We didn't even really recruit. I mean, we probably recruited him, but we got him in the transfer portal. So you're talking about trying to recruit kids out of high school to come to Tech that are probably going to get drafted in the later rounds of the major league draft anyway, you know, the 20th, 30th round, whatever. But if you seriously, if you consistently and in all reality remove your biases from this, and you sit there and you put yourself in the shoes of a recruit and you look at the overall progression from this pitching staff and the pitching staff as a whole from Texas Tech over the last couple of years, and seeing people who, like Mason Molina, who had the ace role locked up, dead to rights, no questions asked, and no one's, you know, disputing that, he willingly walks away to go somewhere else. I don't know if you can sit there and spin me something that would make me come to Tech, truthfully. And until something changes, I don't see it getting any better, folks, to be honest with you. I mean, you're talking about, and like we said, this has been an ongoing issue for 4 seasons now. And for a long time, we were carried by starting pitchers like Brandon Birdsell, right? And, you know, we would rely on him to go out there and throw 7 or 8 innings. And then we could just throw someone out of the pen, like a Josh Sanders, who would come in and shut the door. And, you know.
Or a Brandon Beckel kind of guy.
Yeah, too. Yeah, Brandon Beckel. You know, people like that. So, again, I just don't see it. I don't see a way up for me. I mean, obviously things can change and, you know, all of a sudden Tech could come back tomorrow and snap into it and, you know, rattle off, you know, 10, 12 straight conference wins. We've seen this team do that. And that's very possible. The talent is there for it to happen. But right now, and if you look at the body of work as a whole over the past few seasons, the bottom line is this right now. We do not have a Brandon Birdsell that will go out there and get us 8 innings of 3-hit ball every time. We don't have Mason Molina anymore. He's doing that shit for Arkansas now, and he's thriving there. So if you're seriously taking a look at this, I don't know if I see this getting better unless a change is made. And I hate to say that because I'm one of those people who is very against vehemently calling out assistant coaches. If you go back, was I happy with David Yost as an offensive coordinator? No. But again, I'm not going to sit here and call for the guy's job. And again, when we talk about this and we talk about, you know, changes need to be made, this is truly just off of their body of work. This is not attacking them as a human. This is not attacking their families. This is not attacking them as a person. This is right. Just strictly based on their body of work. And right. The bottom line here is over the past 4 seasons, truly, the body of work is shit. And so until something changes, I don't see it getting any better.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. It's almost like a hot take, right? You know, like I guess if you're comparing it to something that's happening within the Texas Tech athletic program right now, the hot take is, you know, Coach Gerling, you know, body of work, ex-Tech person, you know, that whole, where do you draw the line? Is she, you know, save, you know, that's kind of how I feel with Gardner in this situation as well. I think the seat is definitely getting warmer. I think it should have been, should have been happening a season ago, maybe even two seasons ago. But it's just something that needs to be addressed for this team to succeed. There's nothing wrong with change. There's nothing wrong with bringing in another guy. Given Coach Tadlock's resume, I find it very hard to believe that he wouldn't be able to get a guy to come in here that's just as high caliber as anybody that's out there to come work for this university, to go poach another coach from another university that's on the rise. I mean, I think he has the pedigree to get guys like that here, but I mean, just the loyalty that he has to Coach Gardner is beyond me. I get it. I have some really close friends too, but if they're not doing the job, they're just not doing the job. And those are the conversations that need to be had. I don't know if it ultimately gets up to Kirby and where he makes the decision, says, hey man, we got to do this now, or, you know, potentially your job is on the line. So don't know what's going to happen there, but obviously there is a change that needs to be made on our pitching staff side for very, very concerning reasons. So, Jack, we're getting closer to the end of this podcast. We have a BYU series starting tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Looks like the pitching lineups have been made, at least for games one and two. Big Mac starting tomorrow on Thursday evening. Kyle Robinson on Friday evening, and then to be determined on Saturday. Could be Washburn, could be Petty, could be, you know, a whole slew of different guys out there that could potentially start for that game. What do you see? I mean, obviously a lot of things happen bad on the pitching staffs, on the pitching staff side in conference play up until this point. What do you need to see? It's just a complete turnaround, some more innings work, less pitch count, no walk or little to no walks. What's your recipe for success, you know, to right the ship against BYU?
The thing is, I can't really complain about the walks total. You know, in the past, that's been what's gotten us into hot water, right?
Right.
You know, we had command issues. Well, you're looking at guys right now, your three starters, they've issued 12 walks in all of conference play over six games. I can't complain about that. Truly, I can't. They're low, and that's good. I think that the interesting thing to me about the lineup for this weekend also is that you have a TBD on Saturday, which has typically been Jack Washburn's spot. He has the lowest ERA out of the three starters. So that's kind of, again, another head scratcher there. But getting back to the question, I just need to see a better body of work. Like truly, I can't really, you know, even put it into words. Because really the guys coming out of the pen really haven't been that big of a problem. Like you said, you mean Josh Sanders, Jacob Rogers, those guys have been playing well or pitching well. Big Max, you know, Derek Bridges, those guys have been pretty good. So I don't know if you need more innings from your starters. I mean, Jack Washburn has thrown 7 2/3 over two games. Ideally, you'd like to see a little bit more. You know, Kyle Robinson's almost thrown 11 innings over two games. So, I mean, that's kind of right around average for him. The main thing that bothers me is the batting average against. You know, Jack Washburn, yeah, he does have the lowest ERA, but guys are hitting .310 off him. Guys are hitting .304 off of Kyle Robinson. Big Max got it pretty down. You know, their guys are hitting at a .222 clip against him. And all of the runs that have been let in, most of them are earned. So it's not like, you know, it's a terrible, you know, fielding effort behind. You can't really blame it on the gloves, really. It's just something that needs to improve. I noticed in one of the games where we had a lot of pitchers getting up in counts and then wasting pitches and getting the counts back to 3-2. Or when you're not ahead, when you're getting out to those 2-0, 3-0 stuff, you got to hit the strike zone, and the batter knows that. So I think you need to focus on when you're getting ahead in the count, go ahead and putting them away. Don't try and paint those pretty pitches on the outside and try and over command it. If you throw two fastballs by a guy and you're up 0-2, don't try and sit there and throw that pretty curveball that paints the outside edge for, you know, a highlight reel moment. Rear back and throw that fucking fastball again. And it seems to me that it's just like a lot of feel for the game, right? And I know these pitchers aren't you know, deciding what they throw. I mean, they're getting they're using the telecom stuff. They're getting the earpiece stuff from the dugout, and they're kind of deciding what to throw here. You know, add that to the list of stuff that needs to change. You got to have a better feel for these games, calling these games from the dugout. And it's extremely frustrating. So just an overall body of work, it just needs to improve.
I mean, you're already down, right? You're already, you know, kind of in the cave, right? There's no other way to go than up. I mean, it's pretty bad right now. That's offensive and defensively as far as the pitching's concerned. So there's only one way to go, and that's one up. You know, you just have to simplify it. I'm going to quote you from what you said last night during our basketball pod for keys to the game and the KISS method. Keep it simple, stupid, right? That's what it was.
Yeah, absolutely. Keep it simple, stupid.
There's nothing more to go and make this tougher on your own, right? Keep it simple. There's nothing wrong with keeping it simple. Don't make things harder than they should be. You know, these things all attribute to the lulls you're in on the pitching side. So just keep it simple, keep the ball down, get some good innings out of your guys. Let your bullpen work behind you, because some of those arms have been consistently good this year, and you're going to have to close out. You know, these are games that when you get into the bullpen that you're going to have your guys close out. And we have had those guys close out for a majority of the season. To your point, the Derek Bridges, the Huffling, Josh Sanders, Jacob Rogers, you know, these guys, you could rely on these arms. So we're going to need to see a lot from Big Mac, and we're going to need to see a lot from Kyle Robinson. If we could get some repeats of what Mac Ewer did against Texas, what Kyle Robinson did against Baylor game one, then I think we'll be okay. But until you could do that on a consistent basis, it's kind of a toss up. So,
no, yeah. And I agree with that. And the thing is, and you and I could both agree on this, you turn around and you take three games from BYU in this series, you're right back in the mix. You 100%. Without a doubt, you are right back in the mix here. You could set yourself up to get going on a run. And that's exactly right. What you need.
Yeah. And the top of the conference, the projected preseason 1-4 have all collectively struggled in different aspects of the game. So, and the conference only being two series in, I mean, there's still a lot of baseball to be played. This can be fixed. It could be fixed. Now, obviously there's other things that go on behind closed doors that, you know, we don't be to things like that and what the coaching staff does. But I mean, on paper, this team could turn it around, and we've seen them turn it around in the past. So it's not like it's an impossible task. It's not like we haven't seen it before. It's possible. So these three games, I would say it's a must win, a sweep. It needs to be a sweep. Write this stuff, you know, get some of these monkeys off your back and go forward. Jack, we've talked about some of the hitting woes on our baseball, on the batting side with these players. I'm just going to ask a simple question. Give me two guys that need to go into this BYU series that are not swinging a hot bat, considering nobody's really swinging a hot bat. Who do we need two players. Who do we need two players wise in this upcoming series to kind of help propel this offense to what it once was earlier this year?
Kevin Bazell, and I'll go with, barring he plays, I would say Damian Bravo. These are two guys that were driving your offense for a majority of the season before conference play started, and they've kind of gone missing in action. So I know Bazell sat out for a good period of time, but you know, him getting back into the swing of things, again, not dogging on him for that, just saying, you know, he needs to get back in the swing of things, and once he does, I feel like his offense will follow with him, and you know, be able to, you know, get this team back on the right track.
Yeah, I'm there with you. Gavin Cash has been, you know, he's been up there closer to the 300. Dylan Maxey went in covering for Kevin Bazell while he was dealing with the undisclosed illness, I believe is what it was. It wasn't an injury. It wasn't a disciplinary reason. It was just a, in quotations is what I'm throwing up, a illness. So we'll just kind of leave that at that. But there's some guys. You mentioned Austin Green. You mentioned Davian Brombo. I'm going to go with Owen Washburn and Cade McGee. Cade McGee has started to show some more signs of him being more effective at the plate when he's not getting beaned by the ball in the batter's box. And then Owen Washburn just needs to go back to how he was hitting prior to conference play starting. He has all the tools. He's a great player. He's just not seeing the ball great right now. He's made some great contact with the ball, just, you know, direct hits at other players. He hasn't drawn a walk. He's struck out three times, if I'm not mistaken. He just, you know, isn't doing what he's capable of doing. So I'm going to say Owen Washburn, Cade McGee, my guys. TJ Pompey would be my B or C answer. You know, he's still 18 years old, guys. I mean, it's still, you know, granted he earned the spot where he's at, but you know, if these guys fall into these little, it's, you don't want to drink the Kool-Aid, right? You know, Tech fans, you know, always fall into that. And I'm a victim to it myself, drinking the Kool-Aid. He started off super hot. He was, you know, up there as potentially, not saying for sure, but potentially, you know, freshman of the year in the Big 12 conference just by the play alone. And he's regressed. I mean, it happens. Lulls happen. Streaks end. He's a good player. He's a great kid. I think he turns it around this series, and this is a series that he could also turn it around, who could make a big impact. So we'll kind of leave that at that. Going into this weekend, a lot of sports going on. You have your Texas Tech men's Red Raider team playing against NC State tomorrow evening. BYU here in Lubbock against the baseball team. If you have pitcher in pitcher, if you have multiple TVs, get them up. Support your Red Raiders from wherever you are. Jack, just one final last question. How do you think this series ends? 2-1, we get swept, or we do the sweeping? How are you feeling?
I want to be optimist and say we sweep. I'm more leaning towards a realistic thing. I think you could take 2 of 3. In this scenario, I don't feel as though, you know, BYU is wowing anyone. You know, they're at 3-3. They're just a game above us in the conference. Overall in the year, they're hovering right around 500. So they have played a lot of games away from home. And they're particularly not good on the road. They have a sub 500 record on the road. So this should definitely be something that that should be at least 2 games. I would hope for 3, but I'd be happy with 2 in this scenario.
With all respect to BYU and the great people of Provo, I am calling for a sweep, a much needed sweep for this Texas Tech ball team, a much needed win streak, just on so many different levels, just needed. I'm not saying that this is a must win, but I mean, it's pretty getting pretty damn close to needing to be there. But this will help propel you for the future and what else happens in the Big 12 conference this year. So, no, like I said, no disrespect to our friends out in Provo, but I'm calling for the Texas Tech Red Raiders to sweep this weekend. So we'll see what happens. Me and Jack will be back in about a week to talk more baseball with you folks, probably on Sunday, Monday, just depending on what happens with the Texas Tech men's basketball team. As I said before, Texas Tech men's basketball battles NC State tomorrow, 8:30 in Pittsburgh. Texas Tech men's baseball hosts BYU, 6:30. So you should be able to catch both games if you play it right. So just go out and support your Red Raiders wherever you are. My name is Joe. I am with the Cotton Club crew. He is Jack. We will be back with you soon. Have a great rest of your week, a great weekend, and wreck 'em.